What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the BTOSports.com podcast show. BTOSports.com has teamed up with us to offer you a great deal on your next moto-related purchase. It's easy. Fill up your shopping cart with at least $100 of merchandise and type M-A-T-T-H-E-S in the coupon section during checkout and you are hooked up. One more thing, folks. If you're looking for more Mathis, you're in luck. He's easy to find. Just bookmark PulpMX.com and follow Mathis on Twitter at Twitter.com/PulpMX.
Responsible if it does. What are you gonna do about it anyway? You won't have a head. You have been warned.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross, hosted by Steve Mathis.
Welcome to the BTOSports.com Trans World Motocross Podcast Show. I'm your host, Steve Mathis, and with me on the line is a guy that I've been trading phone calls with for a while, and we've been missing each other, but I finally tracked him down, and that is none other than the Swinkster, Brian Swink. Swink, what's going on?
Same old thing, man, just sitting at home, getting ready to start work. Back on Monday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you were down in Florida for a little bit there, so that's one of the reasons why I missed you. But what is Brian Swink doing these days?
I do as little as possible. And I would like to get back in the motocross industry. I mean, honestly, I mean, that's where my life was.
Right.
And that's what I did for, 20 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's hard just to step out of it, but I did, and I stepped out of it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm ready to, I don't know, get involved in something that I know about.
Right.
You know, I'm working in some little factory, which I know nothing about, and building CAT scan machines,
uh-huh.
which I suppose probably scanned me a few times.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that's not my thing.
Uh-huh. Well, certainly with all of your contacts and you know, everybody that you know in the industry that are now moving on and up, I'm sure if you put in some work and track them down, there could be something for you there.
The problem I have is asking for help.
Uh-huh.
Asking, you know, for favors from people, and
You can't be scared about that, man. I mean,
well, I always am, and that's,
I'm sure,
I don't know, that's the way I roll, and I don't want to ask somebody to help me. I want to be asked for help.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. The thing is when you were racing, I'm sure you did many things, outside of what you're expected to do for the team, for fans, for, you know, whoever. And so now it's time for you to ask, and I don't think anybody would care too much, you know? But, hey, like you said, that's not how you roll.
Yeah. I would love to be part of the industry again.
Uh-huh.
But
Maybe you can take.
I can easily go work and do a 9-to-5 job, but I think with my knowledge and my experience that I could offer so much more. And but I'm scared to ask for it. Call me a pussy. Call me what you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just that's the way I am. I can't ask for somebody to help me. I always want to do everything myself.
Well, maybe someone listening will reach out for you. These shows are pretty popular. So, you're in Michigan? You're back home in your home state, Flint area, from what I understand?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just outside of Flint. Flint's the number 3 crime area in the world. So, no, I don't live in Flint. I'm outside of that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm out in the country. I live in the country. I'm a country boy. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I just hang out. I got a little property. And
When's the last time you got on a bike?
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, he had an indoor motocross track, and I rode there and, of course, pumped up in 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
But prior to that, the only outdoor riding I had, a friend of mine had one of the first 250F Kawasaki's, and man, it pumped up in a lap and a half.
Right.
But I still love riding, you know, and it's something that gets instilled in you, and I wish I could be part of it and not go work in some factory making medical equipment. You know what I mean? I have too much knowledge in the motorcycle business just to waste it.
Right. No, I agree. So, do you kind of look back on your career? I mean... Some say you didn't fulfill your promise. Others, you know, I was looking at some stats for you today. You're like fourth or fifth on the all-time 125 Supercross win list. You know, you won 2 titles in 125 Supercross. You won some motos outdoors. You won a national, 125 national outdoors, podium, 250 Super. I mean, there's some people that say you did all you could do, and there's others that say you could have been much more. Where are you at when you think about your career?
Because
I don't know. Because I'm on the fence. I mean, on one hand, you did really good, you know. So
I'm had a bad state of depression because I thought I didn't do what I should have accomplished. Because to me, winning 125, now it's 250, but, you know, the smaller bike did nothing for me because I always thought I could move on and I was going to win big championships.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to be the best there ever was. And then it never happened. And, you know, some people say I didn't work hard and I didn't try, but I did.
But and, I did.
I mean, I worked hard.
Right.
You know, I trained. And I trained my tail off.
Right.
But
yeah,
it never happened. So, you know, yeah, I'm somewhat unhappy with my career, and then people tell me, hey, you did great, man, you did awesome. It's like, no, I didn't do what I set out to accomplish.
Right.
And so that, I mean, I guess kind of that's where I'm at. And McGrath overtook me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
there wasn't much to separate you guys 125 days, you know, peak Honda days.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he started winning, and then I was the only guy that could keep up with him and race with him, but I could never beat him. So, for me, I felt like a loser, all right?
If
you want to, you know, put it in perspective.
Yeah, that's I think a lot of people would like to be a loser like you with you know, all those wins, but I got you. People are pouring in with questions and memories of you on my Twitter account right now. I Twittered that I was doing this, but it's funny. Let's talk about coming out of amateurs. Team Green Kid, lots of titles, lots of wins. I copied your sticker pattern from one of your 80s. I saw your rear fender in MXA, and I put all my stickers on my KX80 just like you did. But anyways, talk about signing with Mitch. Or the Pete Honda team, was that, I mean, did you have other options? Was that the best thing you could do at the time? Did you know it was going to be such a beginning of a powerhouse team?
No, at the time I thought, I mean, that was the only opportunity. Mm-hmm. And there again, for me, money was no matter because I was going to make it when I went on and won mm-hmm. big championships. Not just 125, but Mitch asked me, and he told me, he said, don't go sign with Suzuki at the end of our first year.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't do it, dude.
Yeah.
He said, give me a chance. And I went, and I, you know, was a kid.
The Suzuki deal was a lot more money. I remember you told me that a long time
yeah.
ago. Yeah.
So I went, and I did that deal, and Mitch told me, I can't believe you did that. And, you know, in hindsight, I look back and I wish I would have never did it.
Yeah. Would have stayed at Peak another year.
Yeah. Absolutely. We had the best bikes, the fastest bikes. I mean, I would pass people going down straightaways. Then I got on that Suzuki and I was getting passed. Going down straightaways. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
This ain't no fun. You know, nothing against Suzuki because I had a decent stint with them, but I certainly wished I would have stayed where I was, you know, and took less money for 2 years because I know for sure that I was faster than Jeremy Outdoors McGrath, and I was just as good as him on Supercross, and I would have got the factory Honda ride, and mm-hmm. my life would have been totally different than it is right now,
right.
But it's not, you know, so we got to deal with that right now.
Yeah, I'm a little confused because I don't. Okay, so you were number 42 on a Peak Honda, so that means you rode some nationals the previous year on a Kawasaki at the end of the season, was it? How did you do in those nationals? Because to get number 42, because I don't even remember.
I think I only rode three races. I went to Millville,
mm-hmm.
and then I got, I don't know. This ain't for sure, you know,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah,
six,
it's a long time
eight.
Ago, but,
And then I went to Steel City, which was the final, and I got a flat tire, and I couldn't make it up the hills because my tire was flat. But I was running, like, second or third. I was racing with Guy Cooper.
Right.
Which, to me, was a hero, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
I couldn't believe I was racing with the guy. And we were going back and forth racing, but I ended up with a flat tire. And,
okay.
You know, me and my parents gave everything they had, and we took the motorhome to go try to do those last three or four races after Loretta Lynn's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I ended up with number 42.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't remember reading that, but so... So you went to Mitch, you came out, and...
And then at Loretta Lynn's, I mean, you want me to get real critical with it, whatever. I guess it doesn't matter now.
Yeah, you can, I mean, I don't know, whatever you want to say, whatever
yeah.
you want to remember.
They, Honda sent Jeff Stanton to hang out with me.
Uh-huh.
And be my buddy. and get me to sign up with Honda. And they sent
with Mitch's team, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. See, this is pre-Mitch. But,
right, right.
And then they sent Rick Johnson to hang out with McGrath. So we were the two Honda guys.
Yeah, yeah. You guys were like, hey, this is cool.
Yeah, we're like, this is incredible.
Right.
You know, this is bitching. You couldn't get better than that. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the two best guys in the world riding dirt bikes, and they're asking you to ride for that team. And we went and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we signed up with them. And the first year, our contract was signed with Honda.
Right.
American Honda. It wasn't with Mitch. And then, thankfully, Mitch came in, and Mitch gave us a good job.
Yeah, MC told me, I did one of these with him, and McGrath said he was pissed. Like, he thought he was factory Honda. And then they were like, oh, no.
I was the same way.
Were you pissed, too? Yeah, you weren't happy?
No, I wasn't not happy because...
Yeah.
I didn't care. I just wanted to ride dirt bikes, man.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
That's all I cared about. I didn't care what my title was.
Right, right.
I just wanted to ride dirt bikes.
How much was that contract the first year at peak? Do you remember salary?
I think $30,000.
$30,000? Yeah.
Yep. And we paid our own expenses.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So... we didn't get paid nothing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
and then at the end of the year, Supercross year, I was winning the outdoor championship.
Yep.
And Honda told Mitch, they said, we only did you for outdoor only. Or Supercross only,
uh-huh.
Not outdoor. And Mitch said, but my guy's leading.
Yeah.
Outdoor championship. You're not going to stick it in there?
Right.
And Mitch took himself out and said, you know what? This is BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not Brian Swink. It's BS. Bullshit. And he said, I'll pay for these guys. And, you know, I kept racing. And that's how I got to where I ended up. But Mitch was a great guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, anybody that can get on Mitch's team is, and I teased him and he teased me back and forth.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah,
about,
I know. He is a good guy, and he's launched a lot of careers. When you won Orlando, the opener, Supercross, where did you consider yourself a Supercross guy? I mean, where did you practice? How did you, were you surprised you came out and won, you know?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
So surprised. I had no idea. And my biggest problem was whoop-de-doos.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Gene Newmack's house, and he had a set of whoop-de-doos. And I went back and forth through those things. Probably 2,000 times.
Yeah, with his dad building the biggest ones ever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other guys were riding, Tishner, all the guys, they were riding and they were doing the laps. And I was like, you know what? I can do all the jumps.
Right, right.
That don't bother me. But I have a little problem with whoops
uh-huh.
because I've never really rode them.
Right.
So I would go back and forth through them, back and forth, back and forth. And you know, that's a difference, I say, in a champion and a half-asser.
Right. It still is, you know.
And I work my tail off, and people think I don't, and I rode with Carmichael at that same track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he ended up becoming a champion. Why? Because he worked his tail off at it.
Right, right, right. What about the, so you win the Supercross title, Mitch tells you not to sign with Suzuki, but you do. What kind of jump up in pay are we talking? Like, what were the offers? Do you remember?
It was large amount, yeah. But it wasn't worth what ended up happening.
Mm-hmm. But the next
year... You know, and Mitch told me, and he said, Brian, I told you, because he knew I was going to have a meeting with Suzuki.
Yeah.
He said, I told you, do not sign nothing. Wait around. Let's feel this out.
Right.
I went there. I mean, I'm a, I don't know, 19, 20-year-old kid.
Right.
All I ever wanted to do is ride motorcycles and make a living off it.
And
didn't realize that it's only going to last for 5 years or 10 years.
Right, right.
And I signed up.
And how far off was that Suzuki factory bike from Mitch's bike? Far? I mean, motor, suspension?
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
I'm not even going to get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was
ridiculous. You covered it right there. But you did win a Supercross title on a Suzuki. So the skill was there, you know? Like, you still did well on the Suzuki. Supercross, anyways.
I signed a multi-year deal, and what I was afraid of was with Mitch. It was a 125 only contract,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to cover myself for a few years, so I signed up with them. So no matter if I did good or bad, I would have a big bike contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say big bike, I say 250.
Yeah, we know.
But,
right.
You know, it's all changed now.
No, we got that part.
But that's why I signed up that deal.
It was,
because
yeah.
Mitch could only offer me a, you know,
a 120,
small bike contract.
Yeah.
And I needed something to secure myself.
And also, too, though, if you look at it, Mitch ran the team in 92, but then Honda pulled it back, and he had to go Cowies in 93, and, you know, on they were really shitty bikes, and he was putting a lot of money out of his pocket. So, in a way, you did okay, because you might have only been there one more year and then been forced to ride a shitty Kawasaki for no money, if you had stayed in 125s. You know what I mean? Luckily, MC, he got out after 1 year, but Mitch's whole support setup changed drastically in 93. You know? So, I mean, just trying to...
Well, yeah. Mitch's deal was Supercross only. Okay. At one point, I was leading... I was winning the outdoor championship.
Uh-huh.
All right? I'm 4 or 5 races in. I don't remember. You know what I mean? I can't recall that. Jesus, it's been long ago.
You did win Mount Morris. You won Mount Morris. I remember that.
Right.
Yep.
And it was after that I was leading the championship, and Honda told Mitch, we're Supercross only contract. Mm-hmm. We're not taking care of you guys the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And Mitch said, what are you talking about? My guy's leading. He's got a good chance at winning the outdoor championship. And that's when the big bike guys drop back every year.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. They don't do that no more.
No. Yeah, O'Mara.
Okay.
Larry Ward.
I was racing Kudrowski and Guy Cooper. I was racing the fast guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitch said no. And Mitch took and stuck his neck out there and helped us out.
Yeah.
And put us out there. On his own money,
mm-hmm.
because Honda wouldn't, they wouldn't put no money out there for us.
Right.
And so, of course, I always respect Mitch for that. And I end up, you know, not winning or whatever, getting third.
Yeah.
In the championship, but only next to guys that were big bike guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, 250 guys.
Right.
I didn't get beat by anybody in my group.
Yeah, the kid's coming up.
Right. Yeah, and people don't realize that, and you know it's changed now.
Yeah,
but Mitch did a lot for me, and I respect Mitch, and I mean, if there's any human being I respect in racing, it's Mitch.
Right. And it's still that way right
you're
now.
You're a great guy.
You know, I know you were at Detroit Supercross a couple years ago, and don't know if you got a chance to catch up with him or not, but it's the same kind of
thing. Yeah, I always make sure I at least tell him hi.
Right, right. So you jumped to 250s in 93. What do you remember about that season? Is that the year you came out and won the first moto at Gainesville? No, that wasn't 93.
Yeah, 93, 94, I don't know.
Yeah. What do you remember about your Suzuki 250 two-stroke days? Bad bike?
yeah, shitty motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
But after I won one moto at Gainesville, like you said...
Yeah.
They decided, all right, we're going to put an effort in this now.
Right.
Well, you know, it's a little late.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. The season's already started.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I knew how to ride a motorcycle. I was good at it. And yeah. I'm not gonna talk bad about them.
Right. Do you...
They put a lot of effort in after that point, and I kind of gave up, and I got mentally distracted. And
you were depressed during these days too, as you alluded to earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. So it really was a case of maybe too much too soon, huh? Like too much winning, too much money, too much when you're too young. Is a case of that, I think? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have really no direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, nowadays, Swink, you'd have a man friend there to help you out.
All right, Timmy.
Hey,
I know about that.
We're going to try to leave Ferry out of this, okay? I know. Although I do know you guys rode.
I love Red Dog.
Yeah, you guys rode together a lot back in the day.
Right.
New Max place in Florida when you were in Florida and up there. He's always said to me that, and actually that brings me to my next question. I specifically remember, he's always told me about how talented you were and how good you were. You guys would watch you to before they'd ride Gene's dad's big jumps, you know, because you would have to, you'd be like the tester. But one time I was hanging out with MC, like in 96, so you were Honda Troy at this point, and McGrath straight up told me that if he has trouble with a section on a supercross track, he will watch you and see what you do. And this was, you know, he was Jeremy McGrath in 96. He was king of the world. And I don't know, does that make you feel good? I mean, did you know you had a special talent for riding a motorcycle?
It makes me feel all right, I guess, but... makes me feel like those guys are cowards. You know, honestly, I used to tell my mechanic, I would go, if I didn't jump the triples, would those guys jump them?
Mm-hmm.
Because they would only do what I would do.
Yeah.
And I had to do it first.
So you knew that. You knew that back then.
Yeah.
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 And I'd be like, well, all right, how about I jump this so everybody else can jump it?
Yeah.
Because they're too big of pussies to do it themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. I'll take the chance.
Right, right. Yeah,
and,
I mean...
Well, that's why you end up in the hospital all the time. But...
What was your worst injury? I don't even know. What was your worst one?
I don't know. I mean...
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Now it's time to pay some bills.
Thanks for listening to the BTOsports.com podcast show. Please don't forget that BTO is the world leader in aftermarket motocross parts for the bike or body. You'll find deals like a Shoei VFXW helmet for $309.99, 45% off, or Smith Piston goggles for $32.99, 65% off. Your order can be shipped anywhere in the USA for free, or if you're not in the USA, we ship worldwide. Check it out at BTOsports.com.
Did you break your kneecap or something? No?
I've had 8 knee surgeries, 2 broken femurs.
Oh, yeah, you did break your femur, yeah?
Ribs a couple times, 2 different times in my ribs, dislocated shoulder. I mean, yeah, I've had some injuries. But and I'm not even getting into all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I enjoyed what I was doing, and that's what happens. But when these cowards can't attempt a jump unless somebody else does it before them, that's exactly what I call them, cowards.
Maybe you had so much talent, Swink, that those guys just...
I mean, maybe
you made it look easy, you know? And you're on a Suzuki too, which at that time, again, we all know it wasn't the best bike. You know what I mean?
They weren't good.
What do you
remember? Jeremy was awesome. And all right, I'm not gonna say Jeremy followed me, but
wow, he told me that. I'm telling you, I didn't make that
Jeremy
up.
Jeremy was a great rider.
Yeah, obviously. Did you? When you left Suzuki, did you know it was time? Did they say they weren't bringing you back? Were you not interested in coming back? What do you remember about leaving Suzuki and going to Honda at Troy?
Little of both.
Yeah.
They thought they might want me back, and I thought in my career I wasn't going nowhere there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I need a change. Something needs a change in my life.
Right.
And I went to Honda Troy. Honda Troy was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit less pressure, right? And, you know, I was looking at your results before I did this, and you had some good years at Yamaha or Honda of Troy. Like, considering you were on a bike that, you know, Mitch built, and but you could basically buy...
Mm-hmm.
You had some good years, some good finishes. You were a top 10 supercross racer all the time, and, you know, sometimes top 5. And there was factory guys all around you, you know?
Yeah, I got nothing bad to say about Honda Troy.
Mm-hmm. What was Flipper like back then? He seemed like a great, great owner, huh? He would do
Flipper
anything for you.
Was a great owner.
Yeah.
I enjoyed working with Kehoe.
Yep.
And, I mean, everything was fine. I couldn't get myself together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing to do with them. I think previously, back in the Suzuki days, it was a problem with working with the company.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then I got myself so screwed up and so mentally unfocused. But I think Eric was a good guy, and I think Flipper was a good guy, and I got nothing bad to say about them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything that they tried to do for me, you know, I tried myself, and it just wasn't working, and they realized that, and I realized it. And
right.
So, you know, we had to move on. They had to, I had to.
Right, right.
You know, it just wasn't a good thing.
What was the funnest teammate you've had all these years? What was the guy you really got along with the best?
I always liked Mike Brown.
Yep.
Me and him were good buddies. He used to come and stay at my house, and I mean, I got along with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty easy going.
You are. Some would say maybe too easy, even in your racing days. You know what I mean?
Right. And right. I mean, I thought at first, I got to be partners with Larry Ward. I'm going to end up killing that son of a bitch. But me and Larry end up getting to be friends.
Yeah.
I was friends with Mike Craig, you know.
Right.
I was great friends with Mike Brown and Ezra Lusk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I had good friendships with everybody that I ever was teamed up with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have nothing bad to say about anybody.
Right. Didn't you get into it with Bradshaw for a little bit? I think I remember something when he came back, or no? Was that you?
No.
You and Bradshaw ever get in? No? No, you guys never got into it?
Yeah, when we were, like, riding 80s and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, okay. All right.
I didn't care for the guy. Antonez, you're talking about, probably.
Was it Antonez? Yeah. Like, when you were pro, though. When you were pro, there was something.
No.
No?
You know, I got into it with a few guys.
Yeah.
But...
Who was your biggest rival in amateur? Was it Antonez or Bradshaw?
Antonez.
Antonez, yeah.
Then me and Buddy became friends later on and thought what had happened was stupid. You know what I mean? We're just ignorant.
Kind of like Timmy and Ezra at one point, too, when they were kids. They got into it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it is. Also, too, like... You were one of the first East Coast guys, and, you know, Antonez was the SoCal flashy R&D guy, you know? So that probably had something to do with it, too, different sides of the country or something.
Right. Yeah, that was all part of it.
Yeah. Talk about Michigan for you, riding there, and all the local guys that have come out there and been fast. And what is it about Michigan that makes the Mafia so good?
I don't know. You're Canadian. You know about it.
I know, but
I don't know.
You get the weather. You get the you get the shitty weather like Canada. So you would think that you guys wouldn't be that fast. You know,
right? The weather's awful. So when you got time to ride, you ride. You ride your tail off.
Right. You just want to.
I mean, that's all you want to do is ride.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was. In my biggest turn in. Becoming a good rider and just a, you know, fast local guy, I put screws in my tire.
Did you really? Yeah?
Oh, yeah. And then I went and we built a little track on the ice. Me and a friend of mine, he's dead now, killed himself in a car accident, but we just went and rode. We made a dirt bike track.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be dirt. But we built jumps, we built everything out of ice and snow.
It's kind of like that Henry video, or Donnie Schmidt video in one of those Fox things, just like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we rode, and you can get the feel of a motorcycle when you do that. And that was my big turning point. You know, I would get 5th, 7th, 8th place in a local race. That next spring, I was dominating those guys.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, I was fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I only attribute it to riding on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, I have some friends of mine that seen you ride on 80s at Baja Acres there and swear to this day that no one has ever rode an 80 faster. From back in the day.
I still love going there and riding.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there a few years back, a long time now. Hey, one of your fellow Michigan Mafia alumni, Nick Way, he wanted to get in on this conversation. I'm going to call him really quick. Do you mind?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, let's give him a call here.
He's winking.
Yeah, he said give him a call. He was all about it.
Hi, this is Nick. I can't get to my phone right now.
Well, it's interesting to see how, you know, you were one of the more highly touted 80 riders back in the day. And did you feel like being from Michigan that maybe some people didn't give you the support that you deserved?
No, I always got taken care of.
Yeah. Yeah, you were pretty good.
I think I was about 12 when I started going and doing Kawasaki testing on 60s and 80s.
Uh-huh.
And I know for sure I was one of the first guys that rode water-cooled 60.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We couldn't ride them at Loretto Lynn's.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that know, they know the difference in Loretto Lynn's and Ponca City.
Right.
But I went like a week before to Ponca City and tested on that thing, and I rode it.
You're like a factory 60 rider.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. You know, I was 10 years, maybe 11 years old. And mm-hmm. So.
What was your best race at the Pontiac Silverdome? Do you remember one that stands out? I know you won, but was there some other ones that stood out, or was there one that beat the rest of them?
Probably. I wrecked one time.
Well, that's not a highlight swing.
No, I went over the bars on a 125.
Uh-huh.
And jumped off, and I blew my knee out, and I felt it blow right then.
Mm-hmm.
But I jumped back on the motorcycle because, you know, you got an adrenaline rush.
Right.
And I caught all the way up, and I didn't win the race.
Right.
And I think I ended up crashing again because I had some... it was when I rode for Mitch, and... You know, I hate to say anything bad about Mitch because everything with him was so great, but I had an ignition problem, and I went over the bars again.
Oh.
I had to jump off again.
Uh-huh.
You know, upside down in the air, you jump off.
Yeah.
I mean, for your average person, you don't know how that goes, but when you're upside down, you jump off. That's what you do. And then I still caught up and got like third or fourth or something. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember.
Right.
But
what made that one stand out? Just because the crowd? I mean, what? Just because you
almost give up.
Right.
After the first time and my knee was out.
Right.
I mean, it was killing me. I jumped back on the motorcycle and I caught back up to... I mean, I could see the leader in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was only, I think, in third place. And I was like, I'm going to win this race.
Right.
Jumped off the motorcycle, blew out my knee, and I'm still going to win this thing. Watch this.
Yeah.
And then I crashed again. But to me, that was one of the standout things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I didn't give up.
Right. I love that track when you're going up in the stands. That was just always so cool.
And it was right before you went up in the stands where I fell off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... Mm-hmm. I wish they did that again. Who knows? Supercross might come back there one day.
I don't think so. They're talking about tearing that place down.
No, a guy bought it. A Canadian guy bought it.
Oh, good grief.
Here we go with the Canadian stuff. I hung out with you quite a bit that year. I think it was Triple X year. And, you gave me a lot of shit about the Canadians. So I remember that.
Yeah. You know, I like to harass the Canadians.
Yeah, I know, I know. Was there a...
Well, you know, Marshall was always my mechanic.
I know.
And he's a Canuck, too.
He worked for the legendary Rollerball. Let me tell you. The Rollerball was the man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was your childhood hero, Swink? Did you have one when you were a kid? Was there a motocrosser that you went?
No, not really.
No.
I used to watch Kent Howerton and Mark Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's crazy is I have talked to Barnett on the phone a few times and cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, he called me, and I just go, that's crazy.
You're like,
why is he calling me?
He's Mark fucking Barnett.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. But Barney's cool. And,
yeah, he is.
You know, I've never talked to Kent Howerton or nothing, but when I was a young kid and used to go to the Silverdome and watch those guys ride down through the tunnel into the Silverdome.
Yeah, yeah. And then there you are 10 years later, one of those riders, huh?
Right.
Down there.
Didn't even think about it. Just thought I was just a normal guy.
Yeah, that's funny. Was there one race that stood out for you out of all your races that was just the day that you were the man, the dominant, just the guy? Do you remember? Is there one that stands out?
Yeah, when I rode for Mitch, mm-hmm. and I dominated.
Was it Mount Morris?
Mount Morris,
yeah.
I mean, I just dominated it. And between motos, I was throwing up.
Oh, yeah?
I was so exhausted and tired, and I was like, I can't go race another 35 minutes. There's no way.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sitting in a children's swimming pool trying to cool down.
Right.
And there's no way I can do it.
Right.
I said, you know what? I'm going to give it my all. I'm not going to quit. And I took off, and I got the whole shot and took off on them and left their ass.
Yeah.
And halfway through, I wanted to throw up.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I'm not going to quit now.
See,
I'm halfway through this.
As you
and I'm going to win both motos. Watch this.
Nice.
And I did. And Kiedrowski, that's when I was saying the younger guys or older guys
mm-hmm.
that rode, you know.
Yeah, 250s.
250 Supercross class. And they dropped back, and I was like, watch me, I'm going to beat these bastards. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just kept riding, and I won. I won both motos, and I couldn't believe it. And pulled off the track and couldn't believe it, you know, blinking my own eyes, just going, I can't believe it. You know what I mean? I went here 50 times or however many times
mm-hmm.
as an amateur and watch these guys race.
Mm-hmm.
And then how I just won.
Yeah, he just smoked them.
And, yeah, didn't beat them.
Yeah.
Smoked their ass.
Right.
And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, I must be pretty good. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
at that point, I would just start feeling like, hey, maybe I'm a decent rider.
Right,
maybe
right.
I'm pretty good.
Wow, I can go far in this motocross stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, what was
I might have a chance here.
What was the most money you ever made in 1 year? A roundabout figure, like just everything in. Did you?
Oh, I couldn't get.
No
maybe.
Idea. To make a $500,000?
No.
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 Not even all.
We didn't money? Make much money back then.
Ah, still.
Maybe $300,000.
Yeah, yeah. Take this Brian Swink talent and put him on a bike now, you would have been making over $1 million, buddy. But.
I know. Right, but
don't slam your head in the door over and over.
Whole different deal now.
Yeah, I know.
Now I work for $8.50 an hour.
Yeah. Hey, what was the biggest jump you ever did? Either on the track or like either on a racetrack or just.
Oh, I don't know.
I got a question here from Spike Man on Twitter. How big was the downhill double at Baja when you did it on a 125?
Oh, it was huge.
They call it a swing double now. He said. That's what it's called.
Yeah, they shorten that thing up. It's a bunch of bullshit because they all say, oh, I jumped that.
Right.
When I jumped it, I'd go around the jump before,
mm-hmm.
just keep shifting gears up to fifth gear and just
really?
Launch off it. And when I landed, I broke all my front spokes out.
Nuh-uh. It was like,
yeah.
Kinda like a
swear to God.
Kind of like a reverse Larocco's leap, right? Like downhill instead of going up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah, about the same distance, but
mm-hmm.
you're dropping down, so
yeah,
a lot more force. And
what about,
I exploded my front wheel.
What about the elevator at Gainesville? Did you ever do that on 125 ever?
I don't know if I did it on 125. I did it on 250, though.
Yeah. I know there's a sweet picture in one of the MXAs of you throwing a can over the Rocco's lead. That must have just blown
up. Yeah, they shortened it up. All that crap they shorten up, you know, after one guy does it.
Right.
So everybody else can do it.
Yeah. But you were the guinea pig once again.
No, I'll tell you on the one in Gainesville,
mm-hmm.
the guinea pig was Todd DeHoop.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He said, hey, you think you can jump that?
Yeah.
I said, man, I don't know. That's pretty nuts.
Uh-huh.
You want to try it? Go ahead.
Yeah.
And I was going around that big turn.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know where I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Out by the road, and I looked over, and he jumped it. And I was like, that son of a bitch. And I said, well, I got to jump it, too. So I turned the corner and just pinned it. And I jumped it, too.
Wow.
And landed and went, took a couple deep breaths.
That's funny. The Hoop sent me an angry email the other day.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I wrote a story a long time ago about the 1988 125 series. You know, he won the title. And I said that he got a little lucky because LaRocco missed the first two rounds. But if you look at the points, LaRocco, like, dominated the whole series except for the two rounds that he missed with injury. And the Hoop sent me an email and said, lucky my ass, and you don't know, and you're stupid. I'm like, oh, shit, I made the Hoopster real upset. But
the Hoop's always a friend of mine, but I agree.
Well,
he's probably gonna send me one now.
Yeah, great.
Got an email.
I was gonna listen to this one, but you don't have an email. You don't have a computer.
But, yeah, exactly. You can't tell me off.
I'll send you a letter, an actual real letter, or in smoke signals or something.
But yeah, he got lucky when he won his championships.
Still,
we'll give him full credit for jumping
for the elevator.
The elevator.
Yeah, I know exactly. What about your year at MotoXXX? What do you remember about that? I know you got hurt and you just quit at the end of the year. You had some good rides, but you were just kind of riding it out at that point.
Yeah, I still wanted to race, and I just kept getting hurt. And, I mean, it was one injury after another, and it was, you know.
Yeah.
I broke some ribs. I broke ribs again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fell in the first turn at Mount Morris outside and got my back ripped open. I got like...
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I do.
70 stitches or something in my back.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's foot peg caught me. You know, it was just... It seemed like it was one thing after another. And a lot of people go, well, it's because you weren't in shape. But when you fall in the first turn in a muddy race, it's not that you're not in shape.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody's foot peg catches you in the back. But, you know, I agree. My mind wasn't fully focused. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
kind
of was at fault.
I know you changed your number from 13 to 130 even at one point, or 103, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
You were so superstitious.
I was never superstitious to begin with. That's why I took the number 13.
Right,
I thought,
right.
You know, a number ain't going to make you get hurt.
Yeah, who cares?
But then it continued and continued to get one injury after another. And I said, well, maybe there's something to it.
Wait a minute here. Or let's give Nick Way a call here again. He just texted me and said he's ready. So let's give him a shot.
All right.
Here we go. Calling Nick Way again.
Hello.
Nick Way. It's Mathis. And
Hi,
more importantly, it's the Swinkster on the line. Brian Swink.
No way. The Swinkster, you got a hold of him?
I got a hold of him. He's on the line.
Dude, what's up, Swinkster?
What is? Slick Nick.
Slick Nick.
Nothing. Just trying to make it happen. I was down at Pro Circuit dropping off some suspension and whatnot. You know how it goes.
Yeah, tell Mitch to kiss my ass.
I was hoping I would see him down there and Mass would call so we could get him on the phone, too.
Oh, yeah. I bet you he'd love it.
Yeah.
No Mitch sighting, though, when you were there? Nothing there?
Uh-uh.
Hey, Nick, what do you remember about Swinkster? What's your first memory of the Michigan, young Michigan superstar, Brian Swink?
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, what do you remember?
Swinkster had these, when he was on 80s, he had these t-shirts like, Brian Swink, King of the Minis. I rock that thing like every day, I think, when from like age 5 to 7.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, yeah.
Swink, you remember those shirts?
Yeah.
Yep,
SoCal made them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was,
so,
dude.
Ron Joint?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then so so you would have been on 60s, and he was on 80s, or no? He's older than that.
I was like 50s or something. Yeah, like 80s.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't that old, dickhead.
you're pretty old.
How old are you, Nick?
29.
I'm only 37.
Okay. All right. So 8 years difference. So, and Nick was kind of the hot team green guy after you, Swingster. He followed in your footsteps on the Cowie 80s and then the big bikes. What, Brian, do you remember Nick when he was an amateur?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Of course I do.
Everybody was telling you that he's the next Brian Swink. And you're like, shut
and
up.
I told him, and I told his parents, and my parents told his parents. I don't know if he remembers this, but stick with Mitch, because Mitch is the way to go. He'd stray from Mitch and the 125 deal.
Yeah.
You asking for trouble, because I did it and I learned it.
Do you remember that, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he says.
Well,
he did stick with Mitch for, 4 years, I think. 4 years?
Yeah. I try to hang with him. He's a good dude.
Yeah. Hey, what's your favorite track, besides Red Bud, Swink, what was your favorite Michigan track?
Mine's Baja, of course.
Baja? What about you, Nick, besides Red Bud?
I don't think when Swink's a race, Red Bud was really that sweet.
No?
Since they put the sand on it and all that, then since they did a bunch of work to it, it's sick now. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember coming around the first turn on like an 80, and they would have just like mud holes every now and then, just like you wouldn't even know, and it wasn't even like wet out, and the front end just like sucked under the ground. I went over the bars. That's pretty much how it was all the time, huh, Swingster?
Well, that's motocross, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You gotta mix it up.
That's right.
That's funny that you guys, did you ever race, did you ever hit the pros at the same time? I'm trying to think. No, because Nick, you were pro in 97, Swink was in Triple X then, right? That would have been, so you guys never actually raced pro together?
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
No. I remember Nick mopping him up one time at Millville, though.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting on the start line watching him, like, there's my boy right there.
Once Michigan guys always looking out for each other.
That's right.
Hey, you talk to Kitch in a while, Swingster?
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah? Old JFK, you still kicking?
Yeah, he's still alive. About it.
That's awesome.
Would it be safe to say that Kitch was the fastest guy from Michigan to never do anything in the pros? Would you think?
I say yeah.
Yeah?
For sure.
Nick, what do you think?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, like,
Kitch was fast, right?
Like, I mean, Kitch was a bad dude for sure.
Right.
I mean, like, he makes Jason Lawrence seem like, you know, like normal, for sure. there's no question there. But I don't really know. I mean, obviously, like when I was younger, I would always watch Swingster and Kitch, and then like LaRocca would come up and just like get worked by those two guys, and I'd be like, those guys are. I mean, like literally, when I was like younger and those dudes were riding 80s, it would be like I can't really explain like how sick they were, except for like to compare them with Bubba.
Really?
They were like on a whole nother level.
Are you telling me that LaRocca would get his ass handed to him from Swing and Kitch?
Tell him, Swingster.
Yeah.
Hey, I did what I could do, but Kitch always killed me. I'd fist fight him.
Just
you know what I mean? That's more the way we were.
Uh-huh.
You want to F with me? All right, here we go. Let's fist fight.
You and Kitch actually came to blows. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fist fights with this guy.
That's how they do it in Michigan. Fist fights. I don't think Nick's had too many fist fights, though, Nick. Have you?
Not too many.
Not too many.
I try to keep it on the down low.
Right.
I remember Slinkster blew a dude's nose out one time at Baja in the afternoon session. I was like, oh, man.
Nuh-uh.
Oh,
yeah. What about going to Pontiac, Nick, and cheering for him? And, like, I mean, I guess you would be, right? You guys, everyone around there would just be freaking out over Swink? Was that how it went?
Oh, yeah.
And then years later, you're that guy. It had to have been pretty cool.
Hey, I brought a slink poster with from the Peak team.
Uh-huh.
I found I must have been like saving it in like some stuff I had out of the farm. And I brought it with my Velade calendar to California this last fall, and I got it hanging in my garage. The Swink Peak poster, it's sick.
Nice Swink. You're on his garage. That's I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
Well, it just took a lot of effort for me to get it there, so I'm pumped on.
Yeah, really. I have a guy, I was telling Swink, Nick, I have a guy, a Canadian dude that races in Michigan all the time, that's told me he's seen them all, and he's never seen anybody ride an 80 faster than Swink at Baja. Never, ever. And he swears to this day.
I'm telling you, I'm not blowing it out when I'm making comparisons to, like,
Bubba.
Stewart yeah. and
Yeah.
I'm not saying like Stewart's just like end all be all, but sometimes like Stewart will do something that you're like, wow, that was amazing, and that's the only other time I've ever been like, wow, like that is watching the Swinkster.
Wow.
There we go.
So all right. So cool. Well, hey Nick, thanks. Thanks for letting me call you.
Yeah, Swinkster. Hope everything's going good for you, dude. I've been a big fan forever. Hope everything's going good.
All right, Nick. You take care. Keep riding them dirt bikes.
I'm trying.
I'm trying, he says.
Hey, I'm trying.
Keep watching you.
I still got to talk to you about you taking out Lawrence, Nick. I didn't know if it was retribution or on purpose or by accident or what that was.
I want to hear that.
I guess Swink, Lawrence cleaned Nick out a couple weeks ago. I didn't see it, so I can't comment on it, but I heard from somebody who was on the track that it was absolutely unnecessary, and now I heard, I wasn't at the race again, I heard that Nick got some revenge, and I didn't know if it was on purpose, by accident. I gotta think it's a little bit of revenge. So
little revenge. You gotta stick with that Michigan Mafia.
Well,
yeah, I don't run the Mafia butt patch for nothing, but
yeah.
How about the takeout you did on Button that time at Unadilla?
Me?
Do you remember that? Like on, when you guys were both teammates on Suzuki?
Yeah.
And, like, that little zigzag before you go to the gravity cavity, you just cleaned them, dude.
No.
I used to wreck everybody.
I was talking to Button about that this fall, and he was like, oh, man, that was a bad one.
Swink doesn't remember it. Too many.
I don't remember.
It was on TV, like, perfect, because that's how I remember. Obviously, I wasn't, like, standing there, but I was just like, oh, yeah.
Art Ekman was calling it. He was like, ooh, they make some contact. Some contact there.
You know, me and Factory Phil were best buddies, and I told him I was going to kill him. I was going to wreck him at, I think we're in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you won't do it. I said, watch and see, motherfucker. Excuse my language. And no, I wrecked him, knocked him plumb off the track. And afterwards, he was so mad at me. I said, I told you I was going to do it.
That's how it was in the old days.
Even with, you know, my buddies. And then after that, we were friends. We were cool.
Right, right. See, nowadays you do that, and there's suspensions and fines, and the internet calls you names.
Yeah, make racing no fun.
Yeah, no, exactly.
We were just high-five each other afterwards, and you told me you're going to do it. Yeah, I did it. Sorry, dude. But gave you fair warning.
Yeah, you did. All right. Hey, thanks, Nick. I appreciate it, man. And I'll see you this weekend, right?
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
All right.
Later, Nick.
Later.
There we go. Nick Way on the line. Rehashing old memories. I'd like to see that takeout on Button now. Now I want to see that.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah. So many of them. What about the media, Swink? Did you always get along with the media? Did you have any beefs with MXA or anybody back in the day?
Not too bad.
No,
I don't think. You know, they used to talk a little shit about me, but
right.
I kind of went with it.
Right.
You know, because I'm just like I just told you. If somebody made me angry, I'd wreck them.
Right. That's how.
You know, and I wasn't mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, hey, you got one coming to you.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I do a lot of these shows with older, not older guys. I don't mean to call you old, but you know, like Stanton and you,
right?
And McGrath.
Sure, I'm older.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lachine.
I'm near 40.
Lachine, Ward, Glover, all those guys I've done these shows with, and they all say, back in the day, you took care of it on the track. Like somebody had one coming, somebody had one coming. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was. But nowadays, you can't do that. But that's how it was back in the day.
Right. I used to tell people that. I'd be on the start line with them and be like, you know, you got one coming to you. You know, that calm.
Right.
And they'd be like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you wrecked into me.
Uh-huh.
I said, so I owe you one. And it might be today. It might be next month. It might be next year. I don't know, but you're going to get it back.
Right, and right.
They always just go, all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they kind of understand.
Everybody got it. Yeah, everybody understood it.
And we were cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, when you get smashed in a corner, you look up to see who did it, and you're like, I deserve that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You're like, all right, we're even, or whatever.
You just kind of go with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yep.
This was good. I think it'll be some fans will like it, and who knows, man? Maybe someone in the industry is going to listen to this and offer you a hand, because you're not going to ask, as we know, and maybe you can get back into it that way.
Yeah.
You know, they can.
I'm not a suck ass, that's for sure.
Anybody can email me if they have something for Brian to let me know, and I'll put everybody in touch with each other. So, thank you for doing the BTOsports.com podcast show. And thanks for your friendship over the years. You're always a cool guy to me. And I remember specifically, you don't remember this, I'm sure, but MGM Grand Hotel, you bet me $50 to eat a jalapeno pepper off of the room service plate. And I did it, and I almost died. I couldn't. I had,
so do I owe you $50?
No, you paid me. You paid me. I bit,
oh,
into,
I
this,
did?
I bit into this thing, and, dude, it was so hot. I had to almost went to the hospital. I couldn't drink enough water.
It's probably a habanero.
Oh, it wasn't even red. It was another color, I think.
And yeah, it, a habanero, probably.
And I'm Canadian. I have no idea. I'm like, all right, cool, yeah. And, dude, I remember Pepto-Bismol just downing it, and I could not get the fire out of my belly. But, anyways, I'm sure you don't remember that, but that is what I remember most.
I did the same thing to Button one time, because I know about those hot peppers.
Yeah, yeah. Got
to
get those hot
peppers. Yeah. Get you idiots to eat them.
Exactly, exactly. I remember you had a good laugh when I was almost throwing up. But right on, man. Well, thank you, Brian Swink. I appreciate it. And good luck with everything you're doing. And hopefully I'll see you at the races somewhere, huh?
All right, man.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been the BTOsports.com podcast show, brought to you by Trans World Motocross. Don't forget to check out some of our past shows, including motocross legends such as
The Beast from the East, Damon Bradshaw.
It got to the point where I didn't want to leave home, and once I got to the race, I wasn't into it. If I wasn't going to give 100%, I'm not going to take their money.
The working class hero, Doug Henry.
It was definitely an emotional moment for me, just thinking to myself, that's it, you know, and it's amazing the stuff that goes through your head in a short amount of time of the things that, you know, that I was going to miss.
The daughter, Ron Lachine.
Until you really open your ears and you want to listen to what they're saying, it's like beating a dead horse. And, you know, and I know from personal experience, did anybody ever sit me down? Of course, everybody did.
Pro Circuits, Mitch Payton.
There's two ways to make the money. One is you can sign for money, or two, you can earn the money. I'm a high believer in earning the money. I think they ride better when they earn the money.
Seven-time Jeremy McGrath.
I was so mad, like so disappointed and so frustrated that I pulled the pick and I left. Every point counts. I could kick myself to this day for not just riding around in tents. It's been no problem. My ego got in the way, you know?
The O Show, Johnny O'Mara.
Stuff that you sit there if you didn't even want to ride it, you just wanted to just look at it all day. I mean, I got a chance to test all that. I like that era I was in. I really do.
Search Mathis on the iTunes Store to find these and many more great podcasts. I won't let this die.